children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400 from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Our staff is waiting for your calls. Call anonymously, call with a question, call about prevention. Don't wait until it's a huge issues arise. Call early. Call when the kids are in elementary school. When you're concerned about something, red flags that may come to mind, like socialization, being bullied, etc. Write down our number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a family member. Maybe it's for a neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Our number, again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really very, 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 very lucky to have gotten Richard Altaby, a famous, famous principal, somebody for the last 30 years has been working tirelessly with our young children, who's the principal right now of the lower division of the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach and the founder of the Tova Mentoring Program on Long Island. We are very, very, very happy to have you with us. Thank you for making the time. I know how busy you are, Richard, and it's been a long time that we're trying to book you, so I really, really, really appreciate, on behalf of all our listeners, this important show about prevention and chinuch. Thank you for being on tonight.
Now, Ruchama, the thanks goes to you because of all the wonderful work you do in Mask. I've had the privilege of working with you on several occasions. I remember that time that we did a parenting workshop back in Harnof, I think must have been almost 20 years ago. The care and guidance and concern you give to families is really unbelievable, and we're very lucky to have you. So if this in any way helps you and your cause, I'm thrilled to be able to do it.
Thank you. But, Richard, I just want to add, this is not about only me. I have an amazing staff, and
true,
the staff here answers the phones from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So thank you for thanking me, but I cannot do it without our staff.
Of course.
Richard, besides Eretz Yisrael, we also did our program in the year 2000 in the Young Israel of Woodmere with the famous Dr. Pelkowitz and Rabbi Billet. Remember that program?
I do remember that, too. And you've been all over. You've been all over the world. And the world is lucky to have the organization like Mask. Because when parents are in crisis and children are in crisis, people need a place to turn to. And you've become that address. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So is it okay if I address you as Richard?
Sure, of course.
Okay. So are you a rabbi?
Well, actually not. And
in
all my work
really
that I've done with young men and women over the years, I feel that being a firm person, Ben Torah, not a rabbi, often you could get a lot further with kids who are in, you know, different stages of at risk, because they don't necessarily listen to what a rabbi has to say, but they might listen to what a regular, well-meaning person has to say. So I've kind of been lucky that I never got that title of rabbi, and I certainly would not want to use that title of rabbi unless I was ready for that title, and that would require much more learning than do so.
It
works
for me. It reminds me, my mother and my father label Bistritsky, Ida Bistritsky, Allah Hasham, Al Hasham. Their Yahrzeit just passed, and I know my father was not a rabbi, and all the years everybody addressed him as a rabbi, and he was very clear, and he always says, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not a rabbi. So I just wanted to be sure that I'm not being disrespectful by not addressing you properly with the rabbi.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get to it. Richard, you have been a principal for so many years, 30 years, in Syrian schools, in Ashkenaz schools, in Long Island schools, in Brooklyn schools, and tell us anywhere else. But I want to know, from 30 years ago to today, what has really changed? These are parents listening into our program, and they need to understand what's changed from when we were younger, 30 years ago in school, to today. So can we start with that first, please?
Everything has changed in 30 years. Everything has changed even in the last 5 years. The speed at which information travels, the need for information to be immediate, the need for responses to be immediate, I think changes everything about my job, I could tell you. And in terms of the children, the fact that they're living in an age of technology, they're really part of the technology, and we have to recognize what being part of technology means, and we have to do our best to try to educate the children about the use of technology, but we have to at the same time understand that it's their reality. It's not something that we could say, you know, don't do. Just straight out and say it's us, sir. Because the reality is that technology is so much a part of our lives, a part of our existence. Just imagine going, you yourself as an adult or the adults out there, imagine going a full day without having a cell phone available to you. It's almost impossible to consider such a thing. I mean, other than Shabbos, we you know, the technology, cell phone use really dominates our lives. So if it dominates our lives, all the more so it's dominating the lives of our children. And there are so many issues that are created because of this. And, I mean, there are obviously some positive aspects as well, and that's what makes it so impossible to divorce ourselves from. But at the same time, it just created a totally new reality on the ground, and we as parents have to redouble our efforts to try to help our children manage the times that we live in.
So let's talk about labeling students. A lot of children have learning disabilities. You are the founder of the TOVA mentoring program, which is an amazing program on Long Island. For our listeners, could you briefly just tell them about your TOVA program?
Sure. So about 20 years ago, the schools on Long Island had been working together in the area of special ed to create the first ever community-wide special ed program called Kahal, and I was a part of that effort. And as the at-risk youth crisis started to develop, we created a task force to try to look at, you know, what were the underlying causes and what would be the best preventative steps we could take as a community to try to help with that issue. And I chaired the subcommittee, and our group came up with the idea that the best approach would be to do a big brother, big sister program of the type that was done in the secular community so successfully over the years. And the community, all the schools put their efforts in together and originally actually funded it at the beginning. And we were able to hire young men, young women, post-seminary and post-based medrash young men and women who really cared. And we found that the caring, listening, non-judgmental ear of a young adult often made a huge difference in a child's life and really helped kids turn the corner from a negative direction to a positive direction. And we've helped literally thousands of children on Long Island over the years successfully.
Yes, TOVA is an amazing program. And actually, this is our 21st year that we're doing MASC. And I remember when it started, and it's just grown into an amazing, amazing program for young adults. The question is, once a kid already has been, whether they've been molested or exposed to drugs or negative behaviors or whatever it is that's going on, learning disabilities, that they weren't successful in school, is a mentor enough? Or, because at MASC we say don't start with the mentor. At that point, start with the professional and then let the professional...
Oh, of course. Yeah, we were never meant to be the fix for a kid who is deeply involved in drugs or even a kid who is already thrown out of school. Our idea was to do something before the child got thrown out of school when the child was at risk to be thrown out of school. And the job we felt as educators we had to do was to try to identify signs and symptoms and causes of the behavior long term, so that if you were a child of divorce or there was a crisis in the family or there was an early identified learning disability and all the other, you know, at-risk behaviors and pre-at-risk behaviors and pre-at-risk situations that may result in somebody becoming at risk were ones that warranted a mentor. But if the child was deep in, the mentor is the first step before all of that. Really, that's why we're so happy that we have other organizations out there like Madrigos out here on Long Island, which does an unbelievable job really in dealing with the next level of at-risk, I would say. Mm-hmm. And MASC, of course, and its work with parents and all the great mental health professionals that we've been able to partner with. In addition, TOVA in its inception and still to this day has a system by which we vet our cases with psychologists. In this case, we use Dr. Norman Blumenthal, who's amazing. And he will advise us when it's time to refer the case to somebody else who's more professional and more able to deal with the more serious issues that we face.
So let's talk about the more serious issues. You know, Chanoch Linar Alpi Darko, it's very hard sometimes for parents to really understand what that means. I'd like you to please address the achrayus of parents when the school, the mentoring, TOVA mentoring organization, and the school decide whether they need to be evaluated, what would benefit them, et cetera, tutoring, et cetera. Parents resist. They feel like, why are they labeling my child? And what's going to happen? How are they ever going to get married? Can we please address the achrayus of the parents?
I'm going to shock you and really go to the achrayus of the school before we get to the achrayus of the parent.
Thank you. Obviously,
the parents have to take care of their children in the same way that if your child had the beginnings of a sore throat, you wouldn't let it become full-blown, infections and without taking the child to a doctor. Similarly, if you have some symptoms of some situations, you wouldn't let that become full-blown. But before that, we have to talk about the relationship that a school has to have with a parent. As I've been in many of these meetings, and I have found that when the parent feels that the school is labeling for the purposes of labeling and pushing the problem onto the parent without taking achrayus themselves for the child in partnership, then the parents don't react positively. But if you really make a case for the fact that you, the school, care about the child, and you, the school, be with the parent through the process, and you, the school, will own the problem with the parent after we get the diagnosis. And even if we come to the point that we determine that the school is not the best set up for the issues that the child presents, but that you'll be part of the solution in terms of finding the right school and going down to visit the school and checking the school out, making sure it's appropriate for the child, and helping the parent step by step by step through the process, then you don't get that negativity from the parents. The parents realize that you care about them and they're part of the process. So I understand parents and how they feel when they sit at a meeting and they're told things about their child. There's a way to do it, and there's a way not to do it. And unfortunately, too many times, the schools come in, they do a character assassination on the child, the parents become defensive, and nothing is done. And yes, the achrayus is on both sides. I mean, good parents, when they sit at a meeting like that, will take achrayus for their child and do what has to be done anyway, but knowing full well that the school is not really so interested. But parents who are not necessarily so savvy will look at that and say, oh, they're just attacking me, and then it pushes off the ultimate solutions that could be brought to the table. So it's a very, very, very delicate thing, such a meeting. Unfortunately,
so what advice do you give parents?
Okay. Parents need to have an active involvement with their child's school. And just as the same way I say that it's up to the school to make a kesher with the parents. It's up to the parent to make a kesher with the school. That may mean something as simple as just getting involved, going on school trips, serving pizza lunch on, you know, on the days that they have pizza lunch in school, being a presence in the building, getting involved in the PTA, the Women's League, being part of the school community. If you're part of the school community, then the school will more likely look at the parent as part of themselves, and I think will take a much stronger sense of achrayus with the parent. And when the parent is removed and isolated and never really calling the school for anything and just not involved, then the parent feels, well, if the parent's not involved and you're presenting us with a child who's causing us difficulty, why do we need the child? So, I'm not saying that's correct. I'm just saying, yes, what advice I would give? The advice is be involved.
Very important. Really so honest how you describe it. Parents get intimidated. Parents struggle with tuitions. They're scared if they get too involved, they're going to, their tuition may be not discounted the way they may need it. Parents struggle financially. Two parents work in many, 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 many families. So it's complicated. But in the evening, like you said, to volunteer at a PTA, these are all good ideas, so they feel that you're bought in, not just with your discounted tuition, let's say, but you're actually interested in the child's school or yeshiva. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And even if you get your own tuition assistance, doesn't mean that you can't barter some of your time towards payment of tuition. In the old days, you know, all our parents did bingo or bazaars. I mean, I know my father used to travel to the city, pick up clothing, bring it back to the school, and I'm sure he wasn't paying full tuition, but he felt a sense of obligation that if the school's giving him a break, then he has to do something to give back to the school. I don't know if that attitude exists anymore, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility having a family today with the tuition and all our other expenses. It's hard for both parents to run to the father runs to shul and then runs to learn and homework with all the children. It's hard.
No, it's sure hard, but
the wife's working. But the reality is we must be there for our yeshivas so that our yeshivas are there for our children. Very important, very, very good suggestion for our parents to realize that when we're a part of the yeshiva and we show an interest other than our check in the mail, when you're faced with an issue, it's easier to have conversations. Richard, can we talk about learning disabilities? Kids need to get assessed. They need to go for the, whether it's Board of Ed or private evaluations. Can you explain to the families that are listening why it's so important to have those assessments done when the schools request it?
Okay. It's critical. And the reason why it's critical is much like it's critical to get the right diagnosis when you have symptoms of a disease and make sure you get the diagnosis from the right doctor so that we know what the source of the problem is. There's a very big difference in treatment for a person who has a learning disability, for a person who has an attention deficit, and for somebody who's suffering from clinical depression unknown and unbeknownst to the parents or to the school. And if you don't get the right diagnosis, or you just, the school's saying my child has attention deficit, I'll go to my pediatrician and I'll get some ADD medication prescribed without a professional really looking deeply into the case to determine through diagnosis that that's really the story, you may actually be doing something counterproductive for the child. So done properly, an evaluation can really help in determining the treatment plan for a child. And I think that's how we have to look at things, because when it's done properly, we're not sending you to get tested because we want to place a label on your child. We're sending you to get tested because we want to find the right pathway to get you success for your child. For instance, we had a situation in school of somebody who was exhibiting behavioral challenges, and it's taken over a year to figure out what the issue was. And now we're determining that the issue may have something to do with a speech and language issue. Okay, that was not evident at the beginning, but because we've continuously looked for the solution and we've had complete cooperation with the parent, we're well on our way towards a treatment plan that may assist this child in terms of becoming a much better student. He has tremendous potential. That's the way we have to look at this. How do we get the child to succeed? We believe, or should believe, as schools, that every single child has the capability of succeeding, no matter what the issue that we're looking at in front of them. We just need the keys, the key to unlock the potential of that child. Often, a good diagnosis will be that key that helps us unlock the potential of the child. And it could be the child needs a reading specialist, the child needs a resource room, the child needs a speech therapist. These are therapies that could really make a difference in the future success of a child, and therefore these solutions and these the testing that we're sending you for is absolutely critical.
So there are private therapists that do evaluations, and they are costly, but Board of Ed does it through the school, and there is no charge for that. We have with us tonight Richard Altby, who is the principal of the lower division of the Hebrew Academy of Long Beach and founder of the Tova Mentoring Program on Long Island. If anyone wants to reach Mr. Richard Altby, call MASC and we will help you get to Mr. Altby. Our number is 718-758-0400, MASC's confidential helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Richard, we talk about learning disabilities, and, you know, people are always so frightened. What's going to happen? They're going to label my child. They're never going to get married. It's going to be on their records. I mean, how are you going to make parents feel more confident in doing these evaluations at a younger age? Let's give them that message about not waiting until they're in 7th, 8th, 9th grade. The younger grades, the teachers can identify early on issues. What do you want to say to parents about when a teacher tells them, third grade, you know, your child really is very weak in math, maybe we need a tutor, and then the parent says, what do they want? The kid's only in third grade. He has the rest of his years to learn about it. Why are they putting so much pressure on us about the child in third grade or second grade having a learning disability, not being able to read properly up to grade level? What is the message? Help the parents.
Listen, the underlying fear is the label that goes on for life into the Shidduch Parsha, which is a valid fear, and I don't disregard that one bit. But I would like to answer that by saying, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. If you deal with the problem when it's little, it won't be there when you're older, because your child will have learned how to deal with his particular issue with disability in a way that makes him able to function just like everybody else. If you wait till ninth grade to find out that your child has a major reading issue, likely case is that he has missed so many years of education that he's not able to succeed in high school at all, and then that child will certainly be at risk. So our aim is to prevent that risk. Therefore, early intervention, early identification is critical, and I think we have to look at it in that way.
And one more thing I wanted to really address is when a child is put into a school and then the school says, we don't think this child can continue because we don't think we could service the child the way whatever services that child may need. And the kid could be in fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, ninth grade. Parents always get upset and they go, what do you mean? Why can't my kid fit into your school? Can you talk about that round peg fitting into a square hole?
We have little time left, but I would say like this. It is the achrayus of a school, if they're going to tell a child and a parent that the child no longer fits the school, to find a place where the child does fit and make a case why the child is a better fit for that school. If the school just throws the child out onto the street without helping the family find another placement, they are throwing the child and the family into the streets, literally, and we're creating huge problems. So I put that one right back into the schools, not into the laps of the parents.
Yes, you know, parents have so much fear when that phone rings from a school any day of the year. They're always so frightened about what's going to be, what the next phone call is going to be when a kid is struggling. So, again, it's about partnering with the school. It's about if the school suggests an evaluation, the importance of prevention. Richard, over all these 30 years, you have seen hundreds and hundreds and thousands of kids by now, and you have seen, I'm sure, kids in elementary school that struggled and today lead a very healthy life and successful life.
True. True. Right? And I have a lot of nachas from those kids, and they give their families a lot of nachas. And we have to believe in the potential of every single Jewish child to succeed and believe in them, and through that belief we'll have nachas and success.
And stand on the side of your child, advocate for your child. That's so important. What happens quickly? We have 1 minute to go. What happens when a kid comes home and says, my Rebbe, my teacher, my this, and we always, you know, there are parents that say, it can't be, or you're wrong, or whatever. What is a parent supposed to do? They're supposed to first stand on the side of the child and give support, and then figure out what the situation is. Is that correct?
They need to tell the child that they are behind the child, but then they also need to find out the actual real story and say, maybe you misunderstood, because give a little bit of possibility that maybe the child has a misunderstanding of the situation. Find out from the school exactly what happened and work with the school to solve the problem. We're in it together.
Richard Altby, a special Yashar Koach. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Time goes so quickly when we do these shows. I want to say thank you for making the time for our parents. And anybody wants to speak with Richard Altby, feel free to call MASC 718-758-0400 and go on to maskparents.org to listen to all his shows and be our partner. Make a donation online. I want to thank you again, Richard. And I want to wish everyone a wonderful evening and a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Labor Dick Al Gordon reminding you that I can be heard Motzei Shabbos early Sunday mornings from 2 to 4 a.m. on 620 WSNR and 1640 WJPR with the best Jewish music you're going to find following Zev Brenner and Talkline. You can also catch me weekday mornings 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on TalklineCommunications.com and Zev Brenner's Listen Line 605-562-5174. That's 605-562-5174.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
Looking to go kosher? For over 25 years, Rabbi Shaltiel Lubavitch and his Go Kosher team have helped thousands of people make their home kosher. Already kosher? And moving to a new location or seeking to go kosher, including for Passover? Go Kosher is a great hassle-free, pleasant service. Call 888-GO-KOSHER or gokosher.org. That's 888-GO-KOSHER or gokosher.org.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.